Well, amen. Good to have everyone today. I hope that you've had a good afternoon, got you some rest, stayed out of the heat, and thankful for that good old Southeast Georgia heat. And I mean, it's better than the Alaska cold, I guess. I don't know. We're looking for a little bit of cold right now. Later, we'll be looking for a little bit of heat. But I'm thankful. Lord knows exactly what we need when we need it. Take your hymn books if you've got one. Turn over to page number 3. Going to sing a few songs. We don't sing a whole lot, so pray for us as we do. The first one's kind of one of our normal ones, but then some of the others, or the other couple that we're singing, is not some we sing all the time. And so bear with us tonight. I think that they'll be a blessing to you if you'll listen to them. Sing along with me. Here we go. Page number 3. Let's stand as we sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. On the third, for nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the technology that we have. Father, I pray that you would help it to go through without a glitch. I pray, Lord, that we're able to broadcast through the internet, Lord, and Father, reach those that aren't able to be here today, Lord. I know that we don't have service in-house on Sunday nights, and Lord, so it's our way that we can come together as a church. Lord, I pray that you would encourage both the preacher and the people, Lord. Father, help us tonight, Lord, that we would just look for you and to really do a work in our heart, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to us as only you can. I pray, Father, for your truth to be proclaimed and you to get all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And take your hymn books, turn over to page number 7. Page number 7, I gave my life for thee. Not a song that we sing a whole lot, so pray for me as we sing this. Great song, great meaning behind it. It's another Philip Bliss put it to music. Great, great song here.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given me? my Father's house of light, my glory-circled throne. I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. What hast thou left for me? I left it all for me. Hast thou left aught for me? That's a good verse right there. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? On the last. And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? Amen. Page number 14. Amen. Kneel at the cross. Now this sounds a whole lot better if I had someone singing that bass line. Boy, we'll have Jeremiah singing. Jeremiah's going to sing some bass. Amen. And I don't know if I can get him to sing bass, but we could try. Amen. Kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I messed that up. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice. Leave him every care. And begin life anew. I'll get it right. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. There is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits. Harm can never fall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. On the last. Kneel at the cross. Give your idols up. Look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup. Trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn back over to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 16, verse number 6. Psalms 16 and verse number 6. Just, sir, you want to see if anyone's on yet? Just, amen. Psalms 16 and verse number 6. We'll make sure everything's working right here before we get started with the message. Psalm 16 and verse 6. I hope you've all had a good day. Amen. We got some on now. All right. I wanted to just make sure it's broadcasting, so we'll keep everything going through. Psalm 16 and verse number 6. If you've got your Bible handy, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're only going to read the one verse, Psalm 16, verse number 6. We'll get started. And I believe that I can preach the whole time on this one verse. And tonight we're going to be looking at passing down my heritage. We have a future that's going to be before us. There's going to be some other generations that's going to need the truth.
And I'd like to look at that tonight. I believe that that's God's direction for the church tonight. Verse number 6, Psalm 16, if you're willing and able, let's stand. The Bible says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." I believe that that's a small enough verse. We could read it again. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. It's been such a great day to be in Your house, Lord, among Your people. Lord, to be able to sing Your songs. And Father, that we could just meditate on You today. And Lord, that we would just give You our direction and our heart today. Lord, I pray, Father, Your will would be done. I pray, Lord, for those that I do think about Brother Bond, Lord. I pray for him. I pray that You would touch him and his family. I pray for Brother Sammy Allen, Lord. I pray that You would lift him up and encourage him and, Lord, his family. I pray, Father, for these that are suffering, these that are sick, Lord. I pray for these that are just confused, these that are sorrowful, Lord. I pray that You would encourage them in these times. And then, Lord, I do pray tonight that You'd meet with us. Lord, we need some direction. We need some encouragement tonight. And I just pray that You would have Your will and way in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture, and I had told you this morning how important it is to have a heritage. And I'm thankful they can't take that heritage that I have away. But I wonder what our next generations are going to have if we aren't the ones passing them down. Now, we've already seen so many changes the way that folks want to change things, not just within the culture and not just within society, but also even within the church and what the truths are. And look at how many versions of the Bible there are today. I remember some of the missionaries that we've had that have any age to them at all would come back and they would say that the only Bible that they knew of, the only Bible that there was out there when they were growing up was the King James, and it's still the only Bible that's the Word of God. The others are just imitators. And I'm thankful it's the whole Bible, and that there's not parts and bits and pieces that have been cut out and manipulated and twisted. The blood hasn't been removed. The virgin birth is still intact. And we look here and we find the importance of it. But what happens if we don't pass it down? Now listen, I rejoice and I'm thankful for the perpetuity of the Baptist Church. I am Baptist through and through. Boy, I've had people talk to me about I just believe the Bible, and I do too, but it lines up. Listen to me. I'm first and foremost a Bible believer, and therefore I fall under the Baptist faith because I believe the Bible. And I'm thankful that you can look all the way from the cross of Calvary and Jesus Christ with His disciples and how we have that line that comes all the way down, and the truth has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. What happens if we drop the baton? Sister, I have that metal piece holding that window up. Would you go grab that for me? I meant to grab that earlier. I'm going to need it later. That line that's there, I think about the price of this perpetuity as well. I think about the price that was paid and how many people have died so that we can have the truth, not just the King James Bible, but the church as we know it today, and we're able to have that time, and we're able to have that fellowship, and we're able to have that truth passed down from generation to generation. And so I look and I think, you're afraid to get in front of the camera? Amen. Well, I think about this baton, and I remember in track, and I was in track for many, many years. In fact, I was in the Junior Olympics, and we ran, and we would have this baton. I was in that 2-mile relay, and as you are handing the baton off, you're going to hand like this, but then the one that was to receive it, it has their hand back, and they are able to receive it to where that baton is passed right here, and then you're able to take off running. And the last thing that you wanted to do was be the one to hand that baton and drop the ball or drop the baton. And so often we look at the truth that's being passed down. What church is our children going to have, or our grandchildren, or our great-grandchildren? Or if the Lord tarries long enough, our great-great-grandchildren. And so I'd ask us tonight, how important is it to pass down our heritage? And so I just think about our responsibility. We enjoy our heritage. We looked at that this morning, and I'm thankful they can't touch it. And they can't take away my salvation, and they can't tax my supply, and they can't tear down my stand. But yet I find that we have a responsibility in more than just enjoying our heritage. I find that we have a responsibility in passing it down. Look at all the changes that have taken place just in the last few years. We think about how marriage has been redefined. We think about the homes and how they've been undermined. We think about all the acceptance and the sin, and that there's no shame. And boy, there's just accept it the way that it is society today. And we'll look at that here in a moment. But it's our responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility to have the standards of the church. It's the church's responsibility to keep passing this down from generation to generation. And there's a reason for it. And there's a significance of it. And shouldn't we pass them down something with value? If we were wanting to leave something to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, shouldn't we want to leave them something with value? Now, I know that I've shared many times in the things that I have of my grandfathers or my fathers or even my great-grandfathers and how I was able to have those. And some of them are the value of memories, but I'm telling you, there's some tangible things that we have that we treasure. But I'm telling you as well the intangible, the truth that we can stand on. And I know that you say, "Preacher, I can't, that's not a tangible fact, and I can't stand there." Boy, I'm thankful for some tangible truths. And so we look at this and we find the importance of passing down our heritage. And if we're going to do it, in verse number 6 in Psalm chapter 16, we get the direction of how. Because of what's given in this verse, we find what we would need to do in order to pass it down. But may I tell you that there's many that are going to choose not to pass it down. We could look at Scripture and we could see some examples. Samuel, as much as Samuel was the first prophet and the last judge, and he was definitely a very successful man of God, and God had used him in a great way. He got to anoint the first king. He got to anoint David, the second king. He got to give the truths. He got to bring them from the state of God's presence being taken from them to the point in Shiloh of remembrance and God coming back and helping them and helping destroy their enemies. But Samuel's sons were not like him. He didn't pass down the heritage. And time again in history, we see that we have dropped the baton and we have not passed down our heritage. And I don't want to be that one. I want to pass down my heritage. Notice if you would. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to establish some lines. I find in Psalm 16 and verse number 6, it says the lines are fallen. The lines are fallen. It's time today that we have some established lines. And so we live in this society. We're living in this time right now where anything goes and everything's accepted. Sin is accepted. There's no shame in sin today. There's no shame in nakedness. There's no shame in drunkenness. There's no shame in wantonness. There's no shame in covetousness. There's no shame even in lying. Boy, what a mess we're in today. And he says here that the lines have fallen. Boy, it's time for us today to have a place. And I told you this morning, these lines are speaking about that boundary. And boy, I am here and I'm here for a reason. And I have this boundary that God's given me, this portion that He's given me. And so this possession that I have, I need to pass it on down. And those lines have to stay where they are. Boy, I'm not going to broaden them up so that I can have more and accept more. I'm not going to shrink them down so that I have less of the truth. And so I look and I find that God instructs us through His Word in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 28. He says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. May I tell you that these lines would be distinct lines. They would be well-defined lines. We live in this idea today that everyone's going to know where I am, or that I can do what I want and then later come back and bring confusion. But if I could remind you in James chapter number 1 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I could remind you in James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now we love the first part. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. And then it goes on and it says, clean your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The problem is we want to have these lines, but they're not really well defined. Today we're going to serve the Lord, and tomorrow we're going to serve Satan, and the day after that we're going to serve self. And we've got this idea that I can have these lines, but they're not really well defined. I'm telling you today, it would be good for us to go ahead and draw that line, so that we can see those ancient landmarks that would speak about that boundary, that was speaking about those lines that was drawn. And we need to have those. Who set them? The fathers. He said the ancient landmarks which were set by our fathers. Huh. That means daddy, it's time to stand up and be daddy. That means wife, it's time to stand up. Mama, it's time to stand up and follow daddy. And those landmarks and those distinct lines, well-defined lines, I would find as well that these lines would be different lines. They would be different lines. You say, preacher, well, what do you mean? Well, they would be different lines than what the world says is lines. I know that may seem very simple to some, but I'm afraid that we're coming to the place where our heritage is getting blurred, where we've got this idea that we can just kind of mix it. And I know that they're going to be well-defined. They're going to be distinct. They're going to be on purpose. But they're also going to be different. Hey, listen, I'm different on purpose. I'm living for the Lord. I'm all right if someone calls me a fanatic. I'm all right if someone calls me narrow-minded. I've had someone call me a zealot. And praise the Lord, I am narrow-minded. Oh, it's about that thick. And when I get a little more blind, it's going to be about that thick. Boy, I'm telling you, that's the only way that my thoughts are going to get wider, is because the print had to get larger on the Bible. Just because the world says it's okay. No, hold on a second. My boundaries are set. They're distinct, but they're different from what the world says. I find as well that these lines would not just be distinct lines and different lines. I find that they would be deep lines. Deep lines. Now, I gave you Proverbs 22:28. He says, remove not the ancient landmark. I can't help but think about that word ancient. And take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Jeremiah chapter number 6. That word ancient, they've been there a while. That word ancient means that they're well established. That word ancient just brings to thought, I mean just thinking about it, that it's got some value to it because it's deep. In Jeremiah chapter number 6, I think about verse number 16. In verse number 16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. There's a problem that we have today. There's those that said that those old paths, those old ways, they're not good ways anymore. But I'm telling you, those are the deep ways. Those are the ways that go, they're rooted all the way back to the Bible. They're rooted to the truths that are found. And I'm telling you that our line needs to be deep line. It needs to be to the place that is rooted all the way back to those old paths. Oh, listen, He said if we'll walk in there, go ahead, stand in the way. Look at what the rest of this world has. Then I want you to see from it. That's what He said. He said in verse number 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. He said, look at all the different paths we have. I know you're not in here today, but you all know what the church looks like. I've got a path right here, and that path I could take two different directions. Or I guess, honestly, I could go straight. And I'm afraid that a whole lot of people are trying to go straight. And they see that path, and they're going to just continue to try to go straight. But the problem is that straight's the wall. Narrow is the way and straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. Isn't that the way that it goes? Listen, there's an importance that it's a deep line. He said, stand in the ways and see. Let's go ahead and take an evaluation tonight. Let's really look at what's going on. And those that, I'm telling you, they might have hundreds of people following them. They might have all of these great things, or at least these great liberties that we would consider great as the flesh. But they have no rest. They have no peace. You say, preacher, how do you know that? You're judging them. I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. He said, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Notice this, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And so I find here that it's time tonight, if we're going to pass down our heritage, it's time that we establish some lines. He said, the lines are fallen. How about in your life today, are the lines fallen, or you living within that heritage, that goodly heritage? And so I find next of all is, if we're going to pass down my heritage, I'm going to need to establish some lines, but I'm going to need to exhibit some love. Exhibit some love. And I know you're going to say, preacher, I don't know where in the world you'd find that in there. Well, God revealed it to me. He showed me that my lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. You say, preacher, what you getting at? Well, I know that it's misused, preached out of context, but there is still nothing greater than the love of God. There's still no love known to man like the love of God. He said that He gave us this heritage, and He's drawn out this portion that we have, and the boundaries have been set, and the corners have been staked, and everything's in place. And it's in place in His love. He said that it's in the pleasant places. Take your Bibles, hold your place in the book of Psalms. Look, if you would, over the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. You see, this love exhibits the love of Christ. And I want you to see why I'm staying within that heritage. It's not because I have to, but instead because I choose to. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, it's the love of God that put me there, but it's His love that keeps me there. You see, because when I look at Him and the love that He has for me, it makes me want to just stay there with Him. When we exhibit this love, the love of Christ, I've watched and I've heard many preachers out there would tell you that their children had a drug problem when they were growing up, that they got drugged to church. And I'm telling you, that is a problem. And yes, I've got a 4-year-old. There's times that he wakes up and he'd rather go back to sleep, or he'd rather watch a cartoon than come and sit and listen to Dad slobber. But, and now he's laughing at me. But, we've never drug him to church. We're telling him it's time that we go to church. It's church day. And it's Sunday, and he knows that we're going to church. Don't think that COVID hasn't been confusing for a 4-year-old. It's confusing to a 47-year-old. And so, this exhibit of love that we have, we need to show to our family. You see, it's the love of God and the love that we have for Him that we live for Him. He says there in verse number 15 that they which live should henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them. That's the same as in Galatians 2 and verse number 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I remember when Brother Jared Williams was here. It was during Sunday school. He was teaching the lesson or preaching the lesson. I don't know what you want to call it. And he had mentioned Esau. And the problem that came all the way back to Esau, it wasn't because Jacob stole his birthright. It was because the love that he had from his father was only because of what he had accomplished. And he gave us Genesis 25 and verse number 28, and it really rung my bell. God really spoke to my heart with that. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Listen, you know what our children need to see most of all? The love of Christ in us. How many times are we critical of our children because of what they do or what they don't do? And yet I find that Rebekah just loved Jacob. You think Jacob was perfect? No, Jacob was a supplanter. No, Jacob, oh, he might have listened to his mama, but he had some mischief in himself. Jacob had no problem. Why wouldn't he just give Esau some pottage? Why wouldn't he just care for his own brother? No, Jacob had some issues too, but Rebekah just loved Jacob. Esau was loved by his father only because his father ate his venison. And so that would mean that if his father didn't get his venison, that the love wasn't as really as strong as it should be. I wonder how many times we've been critical of our children and they fail to see the love of God in us and through us. You want to know how we're going to pass down the heritage? It's not because I make them follow the Lord. And yes, hey, listen, in my home, if you're going to live under my roof, you're going to have to come to church. You're going to have to tithe. You're going to have to do. And you say, preacher, why is that? Because that's on me. It's my home and I'm accountable for it. And I'm responsible for it. But I also want them to see the love of God. Yes, I do love them. And I do chastise them, because if you love them, you're going to chastise them. You're going to correct them. You're going to bring them back to what's right. But I'm not going to be critical of them. I'm going to love them unconditionally, because that's the way that God loved me. And so I wonder how many times we fail to pass down the heritage because we're being critical. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That word nurture is feeding and educating and loving on them. It's not speaking about chastising them. Yes, the admonition of the Lord is speaking about those times of correction that's necessary. And not every correction is necessary with the rod. Sometimes it's just a still small voice. When's the last time that we just loved on our family? Just loved on our children? If we're going to pass down our heritage, they're going to have to see how good it is to be in the pleasant places. They're going to have to see how pleasant the places really are. And so I look as well, and I find if we're going to pass down our heritage, we need to evaluate your lineage. Evaluate your lineage. What's the value of your family? What's the value of your family? Which one of your family members do you not want to go to heaven? Which one of your family members do you not want to sell out for the Lord? Which one of your family members are you okay if they get out in the world and get scarred up with sin? Which one of your family members do you want to see suffer? Which one of your family members, I'm talking, listen, moms and dads, I'm talking about you with your children. Which one of your children? I'm talking aunts and uncles. Which one of your nieces or nephews? You say, preacher, I have no say over them. Oh, they see you more than you think. And shouldn't we pass down our lineage to them? I find a great value in my family. I've preached before many times about Noah and Noah's importance of getting his family on that ark. I know that in the minds of today's preachers and pastors, Noah wasn't very successful. But if we were to ask Noah, he was the most successful man on earth. There was 8 people that got in that ark. Him, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? I know that we all like to say that we came from Adam, but truthfully, we all came from 3. You're here today, and you either came from the line of Shem, the line of Ham, or the line of Japheth. That's the 3 lines that you would have came from. Everyone in this world has came from those 3 young men and their wives. Every one of us. How important was it that Noah passed down his heritage? May I tell you that you're going to have a heritage? You're going to have children. You're going to have grandchildren. You're going to have great-grandchildren. And if we could look on, if we really had the foresight that we could look on and see those generations to come. I remember Jonathan was just a baby. And my great-grandmother was in the nursing home and wasn't doing well. And my great-grandfather was there. And my grandfather and my dad and then me and then John. And there's a picture of 5 generations together, all the way down to John. Now, John doesn't remember it. John was a baby. But 5 generations. Could we see 5 generations from now? If we were to hold up our youngest child and say, look at my child, and I wonder how many generations are going to come after him or after her. 5 generations. How important are they? What's the real value? Don't we want them to have the pleasant places, have that goodly heritage that we have? And our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren? Isn't that important? Is there a parent out there that doesn't want your children to have things, a life that's not messed up by sin, scars that they don't have to look back on? I can't tell you how many times I've told my boys some things that I learned from that they don't have to go through it as well. It's time that we'd evaluate our lineage and see how important it really is, because there's going to be an inheritance that we're going to leave. I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn over the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs 13. And I want you to look at verse number 22. I don't have some great life insurance that my family's going to get when I die. In fact, I don't have life insurance at all. And yet the Bible says that I need to leave something. I need to leave an inheritance, and not to my wife, not even to my children, but to my grandchildren. Notice this. Proverbs 13, look at verse number 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I've often said that there'd be no need to go out soul winning, no need to go out door knocking if we would be concerned about our own family. But I'd like to take that just a little bit deeper. There's one thing, and salvation's great, don't get me wrong. Salvation is what we want to see our family saved. But may I tell you, there's a life that God gives us here on this earth that I want my children to have too. Those riches that I had spoke about this morning, I want my children to enjoy them here. the riches of His glory. I want them to know that God's got them all under control. God has everything in place for them. I don't want my boys and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to have to fret and go, boy, what am I going to do? And listen, I want them to know what real worship is. There's a song that the Rochester children sing that it's, I'll take the old highway. And Jeremiah will go around and he will sing that. And that's really about the main verses he knows. Now, if we have the song playing in the truck, he'll sing along because he can sing along with it. But as far as memorize, he don't have a whole lot of it memorized. And you say, preacher, that's great. He's four. What does he really understand about all of that? Daddy's passing down a heritage because I want him to have the victory without all the hard knots and the hard learning. I want John and Jacob to have the victory without all the heartache. Is that wrong for us to come to the place that we have a value in our family? The lines are fallen. And so I've established these lines, and they're distinct lines to where they know, hold on a second, I don't need to go up to that line. I know where that line lies. They're different lines. I don't want them to be confused about what the line looks like. They're deep lines. They go all the way back to the Bible, not because Daddy said, but because God's planned. Oh, then I'm going to show them some love. Because if you have lines and no love, they'll only want out of the lines. And then I realize that I'm not doing it for today. I'm doing it for a time that I can't hardly see through. But there's, if the Lord tarries, there's going to be a generation and a generation and a generation and a generation to follow me. He says that a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. You see, then that good man's children would leave an inheritance to their children's children. That would be that good man's great children, great grandchildren. Then his grandchildren that he left that goodly heritage, that he left that important inheritance to, they would pass it down to their grandchildren. That would be his great, great grandchildren. Do you see how this works? Jeremiah, come here. Shouldn't we take, and notice this, and Jeremiah is going to be running forward. He's going to get ready to go forward. And he's going to put his hand back here. And Daddy is going to put that in his hand. And I'm going to pass down that inheritance. Because there's a few things that Daddy's learned about the Lord. And it sure is good to have a goodly heritage. Let's pray. Jeremiah, go ahead and sit down. Thank you, Father. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, for your grace, your truth. Lord, for your mercy. Lord, I'm thankful for that goodly heritage. I'm thankful for a family that I can pass it down to. And Lord, that I'd never lose sight of how important it is to love my family. But Lord, as well, I pray that you'd give us strength today. Lord, there's not a single person in this church that I know that's not upset with the direction of our country. Oh Lord, how we need your touch on us. Lord, how we need your hand today. But Lord, this is past today. This is bigger than us. We have a heritage that we need to pass down from generation to generation, uncorrupted, unpolluted, unmolested, unaltered. Lord, only you can preserve it. Those lines that have fallen are in those pleasant places that make it such a goodly heritage. Help us today, Lord, to never lose sight that we need to keep passing this down from generation to generation. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.